For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Save big money on new windows now at Menards. Update your home with vinyl windows from Jeld-Wen. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on Jeld-Wen windows in store or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more window deals happening this week now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
You're listening to Nightmare on Film Street. The current time is 6:66. Traffic is clear ahead from here to the afterlife, but it's hell outside. For the next hour, you're on Nightmare Time. So, let's give a grave welcome to our hosts, John and Kim.
Hello again, fiends, and welcome back to Nightmare on Film Street, the horror movie podcast for the casually obsessed. I'm John.
I'm Kim.
And we are kicking off a double feature of alien content.
It's been a while.
It's frankly, there are not enough alien horror movies. Aliens are always silly. There's very few of them that take them seriously.
Case of Signs is a little silly, but not with its alien stuff. I will give you half points for that.
Okay.
But yeah, you're right. There is not enough alien spooky content. And for a subgenre that has so much opportunity to be creative and to go wild and has no solid, narrowed down lore. I mean, there are traditions.
You could do whatever you want.
You can do whatever you want.
This was what was so great about the Men in Black movies. Very silly. And the Men in Black TV show. You could do anything. Your imagination was your only limitation. But yes, we are talking specifically in the next two episodes about rural, farm-based alien invasions. In a series of episodes that we're calling My Milk Cow Brings All the Grays to the Farm.
Maybe,
I can't say it without laughing.
Maybe one of our best titles. John, I'm going to give you total credit for this. This is some of your best work.
I started from the title and worked out, frankly.
And you're like, what films?
Yeah. And there are no cows in this movie.
Yeah, but you could argue a cow belongs in this movie.
There's a cow somewhere in the neighborhood. He's a corn farmer. His neighbor has to be a cattle farmer. Farmer for sure.
I have some bones to pick with the existence of this corn. I love it. It's necessary. And I love a cornfield horror movie.
We're talking about Signs, by the way.
Oh, yeah. We're talking about Signs.
We're talking about M. Night Shyamalan's Signs. Sorry, what's your bone to pick?
But I just, as a career path, I just don't understand.
Oh. Like,
we don't see him farming at all in the movie.
It's
he doesn't farm once, and that corn looks ready to be plucked.
There is a period of in farming as an expert. Let me tell you,
as a farmer,
there's a chunk of time where you don't have to do a whole lot. You basically just hope it rains. Now that's oversimplifying what he does and what all corn farmers do. But yeah, there are definitely chunks of time where you don't really need to do much other than water them and make sure you're keeping the pests.
But he's also in a career path change. Was he always a farmer? Was he a farmer and a preacher? And because we know that he's only been not a preacher for 6 months. Is this his first crop? I need to know his career path. To understand this movie better and to justify that perfect corn, I need to know how did he become a farmer? Did they always have the farmhouse? Yes, they did, because the wife has a room there.
I'm getting a little self-conscious of saying this every episode, but once again, Kim loves the boring stuff of all of these movies. I'm sorry that I keep bringing it up, but you keep proving it time and time again. You're like, but let's break open the books. Let's see the accounting here. No one wants to see the nitty-gritty of how he has. I didn't see him plant the corn, so I don't know that he's capable of being a farmer. No one cares.
I just wanted to see him farm a little bit.
Okay, anyway, clearly the fact that we don't see him farm is not one of Kim's good things. But before we dive into Signs, if it's been a while since you've checked it out, if you've always avoided it because, I don't know, for some reason you're a crazy person who doesn't like M. Night Shyamalan or Alien movies, what are three good things about Signs?
I can compliment the corn, can't I?
You're a complex character, Kim.
Can I turn it into one of my good things?
Sure.
I do really love rural horror. I love farm-based horror. It's like being on an island, but you're not actually... The island that you're on is gravel roads and being far from town. I really enjoy rural horror. There is not enough of that either. And most of it is thanks to Stephen King.
Okay. That's one of our
most of it is a Children from the Corn sequel.
Lot of great scares in the corn, and some scenes where somebody gets scared in the middle of a cornfield, and then just the idea of having to get out of it, ultra terrifying.
Yeah,
so
we learned from, was it our Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark episode, that you spent a lot of time as a youth in cornfields?
I spent some summers in some cornfields.
It's weird. I never did. I saw it a lot on TV and was like, that's a childhood that kids don't have anymore. And yet, here we are across town. Young little John was running through cornfields
in his
overalls with one side unhooked.
No shoes, bare feet, straw wheat hanging out of my mouth. I did do that. I did find like a long blade of grass or whatever and put it in my mouth.
Oh, man.
Okay, good thing number two. Really rad scare sequences with aliens. We treat the aliens seriously. More specifically, camouflage scare sequences with aliens.
I forgot about the camouflage. Honestly, it's great when you see it.
Awesome touch.
From my memory, and I think because the complaints surrounding this movie were like, there's not enough aliens. You only see like a foot and like an alien walk past a garage.
Scariest foot in 2020 in 2002. What are you talking about?
In my head, those were the only moments. And so when we were watching it this time for recording, so many of the scares caught me off guard because I just didn't believe they existed. I was like, oh, this scene's totally safe. And I was like, oh, dear God.
We also watched not a great quality version. And it was the middle of the day, so we had the sun beaten off the TV. It was harder to see. We should have waited till
nighttime. You know, sunny farm horror, though, you should watch in the middle of the day. And I think it was a good time to watch it.
Yeah, good thing number three, harder to explain on a podcast, but God, it's got a good score.
It is a spooky score.
So fucking good. James Newton did the score for this movie. He's done the score for a billion things. He did the scores for The Dark Knight. He did the scores for Pretty Woman. And I think a lot of the...
Another suspenseful film.
That's exactly why I brought it up. I think he also did some of the Hunger Games movies, but like a rad score that is like sort of, what am I trying to say? Like whimsical is not the right word, but there's an air of mystery to it. And it's, I guess wonder is maybe the descriptor that you'd use. But
it's epic. It's Spielbergian.
Yeah, it feels colossal in some regard, but then is also just Bernard Herrmann style fucking terrifying, like something out of Psycho when shit hits the fan. And those are three good things about Signs, three reasons why we think you should absolutely check this movie out if it's been a while.
Do you think this is M. Night Shyamalan's attempt at a Spielberg film?
I don't think that's what he's going for, but I think that's the easiest comparison to make, especially any movie now where you don't see the monster very much until the end. We all refer back to Jaws. It kind of set the template for that. James Newton's score seems kind of like a John Williams score. I think the James Newton score is better than some of the scores that John Williams would have done for plenty of Steven Spielberg movies. I think his scores are just like a little too whimsical and fantastical for my liking.
I just thinking that it's like the exploration of the family unit.
Right. And that's the other big thing. And especially when you have kids that are talking over the actors in multiple scenes, it's not as chaotic as some of the stuff that Steven Spielberg would do in things like E.T. or Close Encounters of the Third Kind, where it's like the true chaos of a family dinner where everybody is screaming over top of everybody. I don't think it's 100% what he's doing, but it's hard not to see it that way in a world where we've got 1,000 Steven Spielberg movies.
Well, because all of them are a little bit Hitchcock.
Fucking every movie that comes out now is a little bit Hitchcock, a little bit Steven Spielberg.
Sometimes James Cameron.
And sometimes James Cameron. Anyway, we're going to toss to the trailer for Signs. And when we get back, we're going to talk about how our milk cows bring all the grays to the farm.
What can make geometric shapes the size of a football field?
Now what kind of machine can bend a stalk of corn over without breaking it? Can't be by hand. It's too perfect.
So the aliens can't read our minds?
Oh.
Some animals around the county have been acting funny. Some of them violent. It's almost like they act when they smell a predator around.
Amman, Nairobi, Bangalore, and Jerusalem as the latest.
Same shows on every station.
Every station?
It is the 18th reported crop side in that country in the last 72 hours.
I'm a little scared. All this stuff on TV. Joe Gills was in here talking about the end of the world.
They're staying in the shadows. It's called probing to make sure things are all clear.
Clear for what?
For the rest of them.
There's a monster outside my room. Can I have a glass of water?
Ground forces are being assembled.
It's happening. Don't be afraid. It's like War of the Worlds.
Believe it's going to pass.
Don't be afraid.
They're in the house.
Here it comes. Don't be afraid.
We're back. From outer space.
Signs is currently sitting at a 6.8 out of 10 on IMDb, a audience rating of 67% on Rotten Tomatoes, and a 3.5 out of 5 on Letterboxd.
What year is Signs?
2002.
And Sixth Sense was 99?
Yep.
Was Lady in the Water between these two?
No. Lady in the Water came after.
Okay. So Signs, was this the follow-up or?
No. It's The Sixth Sense, Unbreakable.
Unbreakable.
And then Signs.
Right. I can feel, this does feel very Unbreakable-y. It has a lot of Unbreakable-y themes and thesis statements. So it makes sense that this came out right after. I was like, he must have been either writing Unbreakable or it was on the brain. That makes a lot of sense. Because this is, I think, where M. Night Shyamalan gets in a lot of trouble with his audiences, is that everything he does is so profound.
Yeah.
It's like sickly sweet. Level of profound. It's too much lollipop.
I agree. And that was actually like a big thing I wanted to say, that the movies he makes, when M. Night Shyamalan makes an A-plus movie, it's an A-plus movie. But even his A-plus movies are movies that it's funny to me sometimes that I really respond to them, because he makes such sentimental cinema.
Yes, a little overwrought emotionally, and I'm just...
But I fucking buy it every time.
I'm tired. I'm tired of crying. I'm tired of letting these characters burrow their way in when I'm like, this dialogue is too on the nose. It's so writerly. Everything they say has just been like... thought over and thought over and thought over, and I could feel the themes oozing out of every word a character says, and I just want it to be a little bit more spontaneous and to mean a little less.
Okay.
I need it to be a little less important in the grand scheme of cinema.
Now, that was definitely what I would have said before rewatching it for the podcast, because in my memory, we've got too many scenes of Mel Gibson just like, I gotta tell you something.
About the day you were born. Your mother said to me, that baby's not crying.
Don't pretend like that wasn't one of the biggest cries you had of this whole fucking movie.
So I don't have a choice how my body responds to things.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's fair.
How dare you, sir, use your art the way you intended it?
I guess maybe it's too, I have a really hard time with the message of life meaning more and fate and miracles and all that stuff. And so the movie is a great story. It really sells all of those things for me. But the theme itself, I vehemently disagree with. So it's hard when I cry along with the characters because I'm like, stop. I disagree.
But you can disagree with Dad, Graham, for 90% of the movie. For like the whole fucking movie.
Yeah, but the whole point is that he's wrong. He's person number two, which we'll talk about the what type of person are you. He's wrong because number one is what is true. The movie is telling you number one is true.
I don't know that it's true.
Do you want to watch the ending again?
I think it's just for them. I mean, yeah, I think M. Night Shyamalan is a very religious person and a very sentimental person. And yes, he puts that into these characters.
But even in Sixth Sense, it's so, like, yeah, and Sixth Sense is done so fucking skillfully. And that too is another Shyamalan problem, is that his opus was his first movie. And it's just like, wow, I can't learn anymore. Great. I can't be in a process as an artist, changing and evolving and experimenting. I just have to do the Sixth Sense.
I mean,
16 more times.
You just gotta deal with eating shit sometimes, because that's what he's doing.
It's just very public, though, because everybody, yeah, even after he's had a few things that the general audience has been like, eh, still everything is scrutinized. Every single thing he will ever put out is just like, but is it the Sixth Sense though? He's a very emotional guy.
Yeah. And despite that, and despite the fact that I don't generally respond to like incredibly sentimental
You're
cinema,
full of shit, you don't.
No, okay. The thing is that they're incredibly well made thrillers or horrors or suspense movies.
Mm-hmm.
This movie is really fucking well made. Like, even down to just the fact that, like, every shot, like, the blocking in shots is great. The set design is awesome. There are shots in this movie that I think about constantly that just say so much about the characters without being anything other than an empty room.
Oh, yeah, like, I'm bitching and complaining, but only because...
Yeah, how fucking dare you be so good at making movies,
only
sir?
Only because it's making me leave the way I believe about the world by the wayside, be like, but... It's all really good in this movie. Everything everybody says is amazing.
That's
every performance is fucking standout. All of the actors are doing their job and deserve a little golden statue for it. Everybody is on point. Everything is on point. The messages are great. The story ties up in a nice little bow at the end. It's good. It's fantastic. Fuck.
Okay. Well,
I don't know why I'm so passionate.
It's because you don't believe in it. But you like the movie, I think. I'm putting my thoughts here on what you're saying, but I feel the same way, because I am not a religious person, and I am not a emotionally sentimental person the way M. Night Shyamalan is. But when I watch these movies, I buy it. Like, I buy into it so hard.
Yeah, I'm buying everything.
Yeah.
My credit card is out.
Yeah, well, even at the end of the movie, I'm like, no, you gotta
tap, 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 tap.
You gotta have faith.
What's the limit? Tap, 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 tap.
Yeah. I am not a person who has faith. And at the end of Signs, I'm like, this is how you're supposed to live your life. Pass me the collection plate. I'm in. Let's go. That's what I like about movies. I constantly seek out movies where I don't agree. It's why I like movies with unlikable characters, because I'm just like, oh, this person's a dickhead. I wouldn't live my life like this, but what a great story, you know? And like, it works the opposite way, where you have people who are incredibly religious and everything hangs on that. And I'm not a religious person, but I love a good story and a well-written character. And I gotta say, 4 dynamite performances.
Yeah.
Everybody in this movie's great.
I think the biggest conflict there comes from, like, what would you do in a time of not necessarily crisis, but of a profound breaking of things? Like, an invasion happening from an alien being in live time. How I would respond to that is not how any single character in this movie responds to it.
What would you do?
They see it as, like, a profound faith moment. It's evidence that, okay, well, if this can be true, then everything can be true. You know what I mean? Like, it becomes a moment where crisis of faith is kind of, that falls by the wayside because it's not important anymore. I would have such a more fight or flight response to this instead of being like, now let's ponder the profoundness of things. I'd be like, how many canned goods do we have?
Let's get to the lake. You'd be at the lake with
I would be at the lake.
Character.
Yeah, I'd be like, where are the guns, y'all? Yeah. I don't have a single one to contribute, but I would like to be near someone that has one.
You'd be Rose McGowan at the end of
2 against the world.
No, hold on. You'd be Rose McGowan at the end of Planet Terror.
Yeah, I already said a quote from it.
Shut the I was gonna edit. Oh, you're the worst. You're the worst. Yeah, we gotta put our backs against the ocean.
2 against the world.
I could have edited this nice and smooth.
Oh,
you
wow.
Just forced me to keep it all in.
They have to know how witty I am.
And how much I don't remember the titles of movies I love. Fuck.
Yeah. How would you respond if you saw aliens? Would you be like, need some tinfoil and to believe in God again?
No, I don't think I'd be getting at the tinfoil. I'm not going to the library to find the Bible. I Oof, I don't know. I would have a hard time trying to figure out whether or not to barricade myself in the house
yeah.
or to go somewhere else where I don't know the layout.
Yeah, I'm also a pessimist, though. I'd be like, oh, yeah, I'm definitely the ones that they're like, yeah, a bunch of people died from poison gas. I'm probably among them. Yeah.
I would have been among them.
You know.
Okay, what I also think is interesting about this movie is that generally the conversation about aliens, if you're to assume they're real, and like you get some conspiracy people saying that this is why they don't want us to know the aliens are real, is because it would upend faith. If aliens exist and they're out there, then that makes the idea of the Christian God impossible. Because God created us in his image and no one else. I think that's generally the sentiment I got when I was going to church as a kid.
Okay. So in the opposite sense. Because
yeah.
aliens are like a humanoid. Oh, because it's an intelligent being.
It's an intelligent being, yeah. And God created us in his
image. And clearly
image.
Smarter than humans, because we're not at a point where we can reach other planets where there's life.
Yeah, right? So there is a feeling or a belief that if the aliens are real, then that means that that religion is fake and bullshit, so we can't let people know that the aliens are real. Because I guess what they're trying to say there, too, is that religion is bullshit. And this movie does kind of the exact
Illuminati.
Opposite. This movie does kind of the exact... I'm just going to push past that. This movie does the kind of exact opposite, where we have a character in a crisis of faith who I wouldn't say doesn't believe in God anymore, but is
mad at God.
Is, yeah, he is protesting God. Because he has conversations with God in the movie where he's like, I fucking hate you. Don't do this to me again. It's not that he doesn't think God is listening. He doesn't want to ask him for anything. He doesn't owe him anything. He's got a real chip on his shoulder about it. But the aliens being there reminds him of his faith and helps rebuild his faith, which is a really interesting twist and something that I would not have necessarily expected when I heard that M. Night Shyamalan's making an alien movie.
Mm.
I think it makes for a great character. It provides great exploration into what would you do and how do you react and how most people react. You were talking about it earlier, about how there's that big... It's a very big speechy moment in the movie. Yeah, it's very... You said it while we were watching that this is probably the first thing M. Night Shyamalan wrote.
It's the tentpole of the movie.
Yeah, talking about how there are two types of people that react to situations
like this.
You have
to decide whether you're the first type of person or the second.
And the first type of person is the person who sees signs and miracles and takes this as some sort of sense that there's something else out there.
And anything that can't be answered is a sign that there is something greater.
Yeah, there's a bigger purpose. And then the second group of people are the scientific-based people who believe in coincidences and don't believe that there's necessarily
the
any
fucking
meaning.
Pessimists.
Yeah.
The
podcasters.
The negative Nancys.
Now, I love that scene in the movie. I think it's great.
No, everything is so well written, and Joaquin Phoenix does not get enough credit because he is essentially like, not the dumb character, but he is second fiddle.
He's the comedic relief.
Everybody gives such good familial comedy in this.
Oh yeah, no, they're great as brothers. The casting is so perfect, especially for each of the characters,
mm-hmm.
which is so surprising because this is not at all...
Who Joaquin Phoenix is?
Yeah, it's not at all who Joaquin Phoenix is. It's maybe the first movie where we all realize that Joaquin Phoenix is a genius, right? And he's a genius at being like the silly younger brother who hears this monumental, colossal speech from his brother about whether or not you're going to believe in God and have faith and trust, be a scared person in this situation where you're maybe facing the apocalypse. And he's like, this reminds me of this time I was going to make out with this girl. She almost vomited all over me. I believe in miracles. What an incredible scene. But here's the thing. When M. Night Shyamalan wrote the movie, he had intended Mel Gibson's character to be way older.
Oh, really?
The original ideal casting that he wanted was Paul Newman and Mark Ruffalo. And Mark Ruffalo...
So were they still supposed to be brothers, or was that going to be an eldest son?
Yeah, they were still supposed to be brothers. I think it was just that they were much older.
Okay.
Was the idea. Paul Newman.
But it would still be like my kid brother, like I was 13 when he was born.
Yeah,
kind of thing.
Exactly. Yeah, Paul Newman passed, Clint Eastwood passed, and eventually it went to Mel Gibson. Mark Ruffalo was still in the cast until like a week before shooting.
Wow.
Joaquin Phoenix came in at the 11th fucking hour because Mark Ruffalo had a tumor that he had to get removed.
What?
Yeah, like a tumor behind his ear or something. He was signed on to do this movie and would have been in it. But
and M. Night Shyamalan's like, fate.
Gotta roll with it, guys. You gotta be person number one. It's a sign. Joaquin was supposed to be in the movie. And I think maybe for the better. Mark Ruffalo's a great actor. Who knows what this movie would have looked like with him. But goddamn, is Joaquin Phoenix perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Surely there were some rewrites or something, but just the young naivete of his character seems so perfect for him and not Mark Ruffalo. To be the sort of, not washed up, but he hasn't quite moved on to who he's going to be as an adult, right?
Yeah, he's in a level of stasis.
Yeah, he's got that arrested development.
Exactly.
Like, I was supposed to be a baseball player, but it never really worked out.
And they're both, the brothers are in unique positions because, and as the cop mentions, like, oh, it's great that you came here to live with your brother. And he's like, I don't really think I'm doing much. It's an excuse for an extended pause.
Yeah.
But I think he knows himself. Like, it's something that he's not denying to himself. Like, he's aware that he's not moving forward.
Yeah, well, because
so much so, he's gonna apply to be part of the army.
That's what I was gonna say, too. Yeah, like, when they all go into town to just have a breath of fresh air to get away from the paranoia infesting the farm, because, like, everything's getting weird, crop circles are showing up, we're seeing shadows at night. They try to just take a break going into town, and the first thing he does is go to the recruitment office. He's got nothing else to do in town. The kids go to the bookstore, dad goes to the pharmacy, and Joaquin Phoenix is like, I don't know, maybe I'll join the fucking army or something. And he's seriously considering it. He's reading the pamphlet at home later on.
Oh, I didn't even catch that.
Yeah.
Because he spends much of the rest of the movie in the closet.
Yeah, wearing a tinfoil. He goes from being like, you can't believe in aliens. Nerds made this up. Like, a whole bunch of guys who can't get girlfriends. It's all a scam. They've been doing it for 25 years. They're going to be doing it for another 25. But it's like a half a second later, he hears a little bit of weird chatter on the baby monitor. And he's like, we need to get into the house right now and put on the tinfoil hats.
That's what's so cute and sweet about this movie. Movie, though, is just that everybody, there's a little bit of balk at the beginning, but they believe the kids and they listen to the kids and everybody's on the same page and everybody's treated with care, intention, and intelligence.
Yeah.
Rory Culkin and Abigail Breslin are so good in this movie.
It's really surprising.
Phenomenal in this movie, which is insane because Abigail Breslin is like 2.5 or
yeah.
something.
Yeah, and Rory Culkin's delivering like an adult level performance.
He's giving all of the information about the UFOs. He is giving yeah. all of the, like, I don't want to say science, but like the philosophy.
Sure.
What could be true about aliens. It's crazy.
They're all amazing. Yeah.
But it's so sweet and so heartfelt, and I buy all the family shit, and I'm so not a sentimental person, but, like, when they're all in the living room wearing their little tinfoil hats, I'm just like,
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Yeah, it's, everybody believes the kids, but the only sort of arm's length approach they're taking to this, like, let's not watch the TV,
let's not sensationalize this, we don't want to scare the children.
Exactly, it's all in an effort not to scare the kids. And Mel Gibson does such a good job being, like, a dad
He's
in the
movie.
He's
such a good dad.
Because there are so many moments where this is where I'd lose it. I'd go fucking crazy. But he keeps his composure.
Well, because I think he's got a lot of weight on his shoulders, too, because he's got to be dad and mom. Mm. So he's not just behaving like himself in those moments. He's got that internal monologue. And we know because he's constantly having PTSD flashbacks of his wife's death from 6 months previous. So it's constantly on his mind.
Yeah.
He's definitely doing in his head, how would she handle this scenario?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Which is so much weight to put on yourself during a monumental crisis, not just of faith, but like of Earth.
Yeah, and it's not even that it's, we've gotten into the swing of things. It's been 2 years. It's only been 6 months. They're maybe only just starting to get back to normal at this point. Things are finally, like, we're not done grieving. That never really ends. But we're slipping back into the regular routine with a little bit more ease than we have in the last couple months. And then the fucking world is gonna end? Like, our world already ended. Now we gotta deal with the actual world maybe being destroyed.
Because the film is so contained at what this alien invasion is like from this farmhouse, I had entirely forgot that it was like a world-ending invasion.
Oh, really? You forgot about all the news stuff.
Yeah, all of that was like, oh, wow, shit's really going down. I thought it was kind of a snowballing, like we were reading the book. Oh. Maybe they were listening to like a crackpot on the radio. But I didn't think it was this global phenomenon.
You forgot about that Brazilian birthday party is what you're saying.
Yes.
Oh, God. That's truly one of the best scenes of the whole movie, right? We've got a found footage alien scare sequence.
Watching it now, that 100% has to be inspired by the McPherson tape, right?
What isn't inspired by the McPherson tape at this point?
That's got to be an homage, like a nod to like, this is some fucking good shit. If you haven't seen the McPherson tape, get a barf bag.
And get a barf bag!
It's very nausea-inducing. Right, right. And watch it. I think it's less than is it like an hour long? It's quite short.
Yeah, it's maybe 70 minutes or something.
But it's like, birthday party, aliens.
And for years, mwah, people
that's
on
them
the
kissing.
Internet. Okay. For years, people on the internet insisted that it was real. This is a real tape. It's one of the only pieces of evidence we have that corroborates all of our fucking theories. These are actual Greys attacking and abducting a real family in the woods. Don't know how the tape got out, but let's not look into that. It's totally fake. Like, it's found footage movie that a guy made. We watched a Q&A with the director explaining how he made it and how he had, like, a walkie-talkie on his shoulder because it's basically one long take. Like, they did this like a play, and it's a great alien movie. I shouldn't spend more time talking about it. We're here to talk about aliens. But yeah, seek out the McPherson tape if you like found footage and you like aliens. That Brazilian birthday party is so great. I watched that scene over and over and over again, like when this movie came out. That and the cornfield scare, where you only see a foot. I also just was obsessed with the featurettes on the DVD.
I also just really like cornfields when I was younger.
Yeah, me and my little fucking trousers. I watched so many behind the scenes featurettes of this movie, and like just watching the scene where they had just like a fake foot that they're just like wop wop wop, you know, like walked through the cornfield.
They do a really great job though of not showing too much alien.
Yeah.
The end, we do get full alien action, which you kind of have to do at this point, especially
yes,
if you're going to be like, they're coming, they're invading. Oh, they left for some reason. That feels bait and switchy, so you do have to give the audience something so that everybody's not seething when they leave the theater.
Yeah.
But they do the Jaws approach. Mm-hmm. For most of the film, you see so little of the alien.
But it's so effective.
It is effective because this is a suspense. Everything M. Night Shyamalan does is a suspense.
Mm-hmm.
You need less monster to have more suspense. The pantry sequence is
Hell
a
yeah,
masterclass in terror.
Oh, yeah.
I fucking forgot the end of it. Normally, I hide from scary scenes. I was not hiding.
You thought
I was ill prepared.
You tried to have a sip of coffee and you're like, oh, good God.
I almost broke my UFO mug.
And it's such a good... It's the foundation for the final set piece, the final showdown with the alien at the end of the movie, because they've barricaded... Like, once the alien invasion happens, that's all nice and spooky. They've boarded up all the windows and doors, but we hear the aliens trying to break in. At some point, we literally hear them in the house, so they barricade themselves in, like, the coal
They're in
cellar.
The attic. They're in the house. That is Radio Play style. So much of what we learn through the movie is through calm talking.
Yes.
Which is why that pantry scene, sorry to go back, is so scary, because we learn that the aliens in the pantry from M. Night Shyamalan himself, as a character in the movie, says, like, oh, by the way, I locked one of those fuckers in the pantry, and drives off. And you're just like, well, this is about to get fucking scary.
Yeah, by the way, don't go by pantry. Okay, bye.
Doodaloo, motherfuckers.
But when the aliens stop, like the next morning, and everything's quiet, and the radio is saying that most of them have left, we think, despite the fact that they have camouflage technology, they could still be around.
It would take me more than, oh, they haven't been around for an hour or two. I would be down in that basement for 6 to 7 days.
We haven't seen them for 6 weeks. That's what I'm coming
up. Yeah, I would wait till that lady cops comes knocking at my basement door and is like, yo, you guys can leave. You can stop eating canned corn.
Or I'm going to say, you can stop eating dog food.
And I'd be like, slide your hat under the door so I know it's you and not a cloaked gray.
Yeah, totally.
You don't know any of their fucking abilities. They can camouflage. What if they just turned into corn stalks?
Oh, God, don't say that.
It could happen.
Kim's looking at me with such seriousness that, like, this is an eventuality that we need to prepare for in the real world. She's got the bugged out eyes. Like, no, I'm serious.
Wait
man.
A minute. We don't have any corn.
Like, we have a fire escape plan if the house gets burnt up. But what are we going to do if the grays come knocking? Anyway, the aliens...
During an alien invasion, though, like, in terms of signs... particular alien invasion? Why are they going into individual homes? This feels like very low-level invasion tactics.
Okay, so they were originally theorizing that, and this is mostly what the kid's trying to deliver from the alien book that he's been reading and what they've been listening to on the news, that there's two reasons that the aliens are here. Either they're trying to communicate with us and it's all in the spirit of intergalactic peace, or they're hostile and they're here for our resources. We assume that they're here to harvest our resources because they start attacking, and also just the score of the movie tells us they're not nice. They're here to steal our stuff, and we can't have that. But at the end of the movie, on the radio, now he is a bit of a kook, so we don't really know if it's 100% truthful, but it's all we get, so let's go on that they were actually taking people.
Taking them?
Yeah.
I thought, like, they were just gassing them.
The doc's time machine runs on trash cans and banana peels. Maybe the alien spaceships run on blood. We don't know.
That seems like a water-based liquid, though.
Okay, well, that's Kim's got a bone to pick with the end of this movie, so let's just get to it.
I'm just going to be real brief. Why go to a planet that's 80% water?
When the aliens came in War of the Worlds, what stopped the aliens then?
Love?
No. No.
What stopped words, right?
It was the common cold.
Oh, right.
It was just like bacteria, you know? That's what killed the aliens. The aliens got killed off just by something that is not deadly to us, but decimated the aliens.
You want
to
hear something real life spooky I read just before we watched Signs today?
I'm not done with this thought. Sure, let's hear it.
It's just a side note that there's a bacteria on the International Space Station.
Oh, yes.
That has evolved, and it's not anything we have on Earth.
Uh-huh. They are very worried about it, yes.
The space station, when they do finally retire it...
Very soon.
...is just going to burn up in the atmosphere.
They're just going to push it?
It's basically going to become space garbage.
You don't think they're just going to slowly take it apart?
No, it's just going to burn up. They're just going to incinerate
it. We suck.
Hopefully that bacteria doesn't have little parachutes.
This could be like the end of life, is what you're saying.
I doubt the concept. I just think that's fun. That's a fun little scary...
I love a fun little,
a little
scary
afternoon shudder for you.
You've got a good point about the aliens. I'll say that. That, yeah, there's a whole lot of deadly water to them on the planet.
But this is like, they won't go near areas of water. But humanity has harnessed water into these little thing called pipes that go into every single house. Why aren't they wearing clothes?
Why aren't they wearing clothes? They could be wearing little space outfits, but maybe they can't camouflage. Their skin is able to camouflage.
I feel
easily.
Like they would have the technology to make garments that could also do that.
That's possible.
You're traveling through galaxies to get to another planet.
Yep. and you want to see them fabricate some clothes? You want to see the boring part of the alien story?
The problem is we don't have a lot of time left to vanquish the alien, so it's just like, ah, they touched some water and they got scared and left. They got boars with bigger nails.
That's exactly what happened.
I do like that the alien that's left in the final, like, dun dun dun.
Yeah.
It's not over is the one that he cut the fingers off of, so it's like he's got a vendetta. He was left behind and he's like,
I'm going to that fucking house.
I'm gonna kill your boy because you killed my favorite fingers.
Okay, we did hear on the radio that the aliens took off, but they left behind some of their wounded. That is something that Joaquin Phoenix relays after Mel Gibson's character wakes up.
I think he said he left their dead, but sure.
No, I think he said they left their wounded.
Okay,
and
fine.
That's exactly why this alien is left. Now, you're right. It is very funny. It's like a vendetta shark come for the family in the middle
Thought you didn't believe in vendetta shark, John.
I don't. And also, I don't believe in aliens. But what a wonderful movie this is. No, what do you think? What do you think of the bigger tapestry at the end of the movie?
Oh, that it's all fate and that his dying wife was like, hit the alien in the head, and then she died?
Yeah, everything about it. The fact that the kid has asthma because it would give him the ability to have his lungs closed so that the poisonous gas didn't get inhaled, so the son doesn't die. The daughter has this sort of tick
water's
about water.
Water's so stinky!
Yeah, the water's old, it's dusty, and she just keeps leaving glasses around, which helps them defeat the alien at the end. Even Joaquin Phoenix's character is obsessed with swinging the bat. It just felt wrong not to swing. And that's what stopped him from getting to the major leagues, which is what put him in a position to be with his brother's family so he could defend them.
You're
and kill this alien.
You're getting so animated right now.
But that's the end of the movie. The end of the movie is literally, let's take out the board and the red yarn.
And this is why Mel Gibson stopped believing in God so he can be a grumpy, crotchety guy that solves it at the end.
Yeah. It's all there, and it's all in service of saving the family and for gaining his faith.
The shame his wife and dogs had to die for it,
though. I know, right?
Like, where do the dogs fit in?
Yeah, what of the dogs?
They just forgot it outside, and they were like, oh!
Yeah, and that's how they, oh, shit. It's a canary in a coal mine situation, right?
Yeah, I mean, watching the wall while the sounds are happening outside is good filmmaking.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah, I think it's just good writing. It's Chekhov's gone in the most artful way.
Yeah, I love all that shit. It works great in movies.
Period.
I think I don't care whether it's necessarily like a religious thing or whether it's just a universal thing the way you would see in some other movies. I think it always works really well in movies because you are watching a contained story and like you have to have threads that lead to an idea or a belief or something, right? And it's just like such great forecasting and development for that character at the end of the movie. And yeah, like I'm not a religious or sentimental person, but goddamn, is it a really well-written, really well-put-together movie. Way to go, M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah, in the end, I turn it off and I'm like, well, I wouldn't have survived an outing like that, but good thing that this story is fiction.
I feel that way after watching a Friday the 13th movie.
Just yeah, I wouldn't have survived that because I'm not a psychic like Tina.
Right? I would have been stoned on the couch laughing at some porno tape we found in the basement and I would have got a machete in the face.
No, you would have been the banana hitchhiker.
I don't even get a line of dialogue in the movie.
Yeah, but you get heart and to become a fan favorite.
I'll be remembered by one dumb podcaster for 40 years. I do think that one of the biggest strengths of the movie, and we're talking about it as an alien invasion movie, and we basically never see the aliens. And I think that's
just signs of them.
Just signs of the aliens. Yeah, like we see hands creeping up from behind doors. We get one alien at the end of the movie, but there is a sense that it is a world-ending event and that they are invading. And I personally don't think that we're missing anything on the alien front. I think we see
by being
enough
in the basement?
Well, by being in the basement, by only seeing shadows of them, I think it works really well. Maybe it's also
if it was a bigger movie, it would be a different movie entirely.
Exactly.
It wouldn't be about the signs. It would be called Invasion.
That's true. Yeah. I think to have the cornerstone of the movie be a character who's dealing with faith and belief, like you can't see it head on. You know, and like that's the other weird thing about Mel Gibson's character in the movie, too. It's for him, it's seeing is believing, which is such an anti-religious sentiment. You have to just have faith. You shouldn't have to see it in order to believe it. But for him, especially, he has to. As a person who's already lost his faith, I guess he needs to like see it and confront it head on. Because that's even the message that his wife delivers to him at the end of the movie, or when she's dying. We see it at the end of the movie. She's got messages for both her kids, for his brother. And it's like she doesn't recognize for half a second that she's talking to her husband because she says, tell Graham to see. He's Graham. She doesn't need to say, tell Graham. But yeah, like he needs to see the signs. Like he needs to understand what he's looking at. It's a really fucking good movie.
Just to be a little less high level.
Yeah, sorry. Like for a second there, I tried to bring it back to the alien invasion stuff. And
I was gonna
my
say,
own brain took me away.
I appreciate that the aliens are a little hunky.
Hunky.
They're like built.
Well, they're the fucking they're the military for the aliens. Of course they're built.
Okay, that's a good theory.
There's definitely an alien with a pot belly somewhere up there.
From Rory's reading, what's this character's name? From Morgan's reading, it's just like, oh, they're definitely going to be short and little guys. And you picture tiny, skinny little green aliens who don't have belly buttons with like lanky arms. And these guys are like pretty muscly.
Yeah. Anything else you want to say about
them? I just think that's a unique take.
I think it's a unique take. Good on them for making a, you know, mildly attractive looking alien.
But it's scary in that birthday party scene.
Oh, I wouldn't want to fight it. No.
I wouldn't want to be in a room alone with that.
No.
It's hand-to-hand combat with that?
I know, that's the thing too. When they say, oh yeah, most likely when they come down, it'll be hand-to-hand combat. Oh God, I'm not prepared for that. I'm okay if we nuke them. I'm fine if we nuke them. But if I gotta roll up my sleeves and fight it, we're done.
Yeah, and you
we're
find
done.
Out they have gas thorns in their palms?
Yes,
like,
yeah.
No! I don't want
toast.
No gas stinger.
I can't go in and jab that motherfucker if he's also gonna gas me at the same time. I'm not gonna win this fight. There's no way.
And that one single injured alien we see got a bat broken on him, and the only thing that killed him was water.
Do you think that they were, there's a lot of creative shots in this movie. We see the alien through the reflection of the television and distorted through a glass of water. And you know that it's sort of forecasting that, oh, we need to use this glass of water to kill the alien. But do you think a lot of those fun little shots are just to hide the alien? Do you think that maybe they weren't happy with the look of it?
Maybe, but also it's just really artful ways of delivering it.
Yeah.
Like to delivering on the promise there's an alien here, mm-hmm. but still being suspenseful. It is scarier to see that alien in a reflection and having all of the characters react to that corner of the room than
good.
It is to just see the alien standing there. When the alien is standing there holding the CGI little boy, one, it doesn't land 100% in 2024, but it's more scary when it's in the TV.
Yeah, it looks really good.
But counter to that, though, what you expect to happen can be subverted, and that can be better. We expect to see the alien in the reflection of the knife. I was expecting it, even though I've fucking seen this movie before. And when that hand comes out, I'm like, no, I'm not okay with that. No, thank you.
Man, what great scare sequences this
I
movie has.
Actually jumped. Can you verify that I actually jumped?
Oh, more than once, yeah. You were disturbed in a couple scenes, and it's because you don't see it coming.
Like, no.
Most movies really, really, really forecast where the scare is coming and how it's going to happen. And that's the surprise of this movie, is that you think it's over, or you think it's going to come in a different way, and you don't expect it, and it just comes at you so fucking fast.
Yeah, and he does such an artful job of coming in either too late or during the quiet moments, so that a lot of it is what you see in your head. Like the dog death in the very beginning is a really traumatic sequence, and we don't see any of it. We see the dog growl, and then during a moment of action, we cut away and we're in a boring crop circle scene.
He does a lot of cutting away in this movie. It's mostly back to the death of his wife.
I know, there's an alien thing happening, and you're like, oh, let's all have a cry now, I guess.
Yeah, the climax of the movie, there's an alien in the room. We're like, oh, fuck, what are we gonna do? Cut to having a sad talk with my wife while she dies. But I think it's done really well.
It is done really well. I complain, but it's with love.
He doles out that information on such a slow IV drip, and it comes at the exact right moments to make it feel monumental and big, right?
When also it is very reflective of PTSD, the fact that we keep going back to this scene and seeing such tiny snapshots of it against his will, kind of.
Mm.
It just doesn't feel nice when we go back to these scenes. I don't feel excited to see what happened at any time we see it.
No.
I'm like, no, I don't want to learn. No, thank you.
What a cruel god for M. Night Shyamalan's character, Ray. Hey, I'm real sorry, man. I'm going to need you to kill this preacher.
It's the cruel to be kind. Like, your wife is cut in half. You get to talk to her a little bit, but she's definitely dead. It's not nice. No, it's dark shit. But it's also an alien movie with cornfields, so yay!
Hell yeah. That's... it's... a great setting to see an alien. Like, I love an alien invasion in a metropolitan city, but, like, it coming into a cornfield, into a rural farm where there's no escape, you're on your own. Surprisingly, these characters also have no guns, which is a weird choice, but makes everything so much more
tense. They're very holistic people, John.
They really are. It is such a great setting for an alien invasion, especially a self-contained alien invasion. We got another one coming up next week. Oh, I'm really excited. We've got 20 years between the movie we're talking about this week and the movie we're talking about next time, and we get full-on alien fisticuff fights in the next one. But before we get there, Kim, what's your rating of M. Night Shyamalan's Signs?
Okay, so I know I spent a lot of time bitching about this movie, but it's just mainly my own personal gripes, and it has nothing to do with the movie itself.
Yeah.
The movie itself is phenomenal and really well done, so I'm going to give it a 4 out of 4.
Yeah, four. That's a you really liked it, shit.
Fucking corn, John.
Fucking corn, yeah. I'm going to give it a 3.5 out of 4.
We don't get enough alien content.
We really don't.
I'm hungry for it.
No, we need more alien movies like The Strangers. They're all home invasion movies.
The Strangers could be an alien movie.
Exactly. They take off the burlap sack and it's just like, hello, I'm a gray or something, you know, just like I'm a lizard man.
Tamra's an anagram. Frost. Spaceship or something.
Is my spaceship here?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, rock solid movie. One of M. Night Shyamalan's best. I don't think people love it very much. People definitely like it more than The Village, and they're wrong about that.
They are wrong about that.
But yeah, the exact right amount of time has gone by between the last time that we watched this movie and this time. This movie played like gangbusters.
Yeah, I forgot all the scares and it fucking ruined me. My day is ruined.
God, I wish I could see this movie in the theater again.
I still have goosebumps.
I remember people freaking out in the movie theater when this came out.
That's great. People underestimate how scary aliens are because they make you confront a lot of things. And also, I feel like they have the spider-inducing effect. Like,
oh, yeah.
If one's in your room, you don't want to smack it, but it has to get out of your room.
You
right?
Gotta get that fucking thing out. But also, call somebody else.
Exactly.
You can't predict its movements.
And you know it's innately smarter than you.
The spider?
Yes.
Okay. Is that actually how you feel when you look at spiders? You're like, he knows what I'm gonna do. He's two steps ahead. John Doe has the upper hand.
What's in the web?
Anyway, that's what we thought of Signs. Let us know what you thought of this M. Night Shyamalan rural alien movie. Hit us up on social media, wherever you follow us. Just look for Nightmare on Film Street or NOFS Podcast.
We're always down to talk Shyamalan.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, we're a Shyamalan bunch.
We've got some controversial opinions. I'm going to say this real quick, and then we're going to leave. I think The Lady in Water is a totally fine movie.
Okay,
anyway.
Wait, I'm going to go now. I don't like Unbreakable.
Anyway, hit us up in the Nightmare on Film Street Discord at nofspodcast.com/discord if you want to have a more long-form chat and make some more friends, meet some of your fellow fiends, chat horror movies with us.
If you want more Nightmare on Film Street content, if you want bonus episodes, or you just want, you know, to support the show because you've been listening a while and you're like, I should throw them a couple bucks, you can head to patreon.com/nightmareonfilmstreet and join the Fiend Club. There's a whole bunch of different tiers. You can get bonus episodes. You can get merch. You can even get a private episode recorded just for you. That's all at patreon.com/nightmareonfilmstreet.
Yeah.
Until next time, I'm Kim.
I'm John.
Stay creepy.
It appears you made it out alive, but we'll get you next time. Help us to grow the horde. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you subscribe. More terror can be found lurking on our website, nofspodcast.com. Until next time, stay creepy, fiends.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Stop in and save big money on your next outdoor lumber project now at Menards. Menards has the largest selection of AC2 pressure-treated lumber and decking, and it's easy to load in our outdoor lumber yard. Plus, you can get free estimates fast with our deck design program in-store or on Menards.com. Check out our weekly flyer for more great deals happening now at Menards.
Save big.